At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 350 plus programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Why not?
Yep. Why not?
No, literally, that's.
I've
so
heard
cool.
You say that. Why not? A few times, and I love it. I love it because that's like such a tagline around here. It's like, why not? Let's try it. And I am such a. I see people and entrepreneurs, and they don't even have to be entrepreneurs, but people doubt themselves so much. And I know that we all struggle with that. And I also, I've been doing this for 12 years. You've had the why not, you know, mentality for how long now? I'm not sure.
So I'm 29. So that started when I was like, so about 9 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And it is just amazing the little compounding momentum that you gain.
That part.
As you why not it more and more. And so I am just such a data driven person that I just love data. And so it's like, if I have the data that I've done this before and I did it, like, it maybe it wasn't perfect, but nobody died. And like, yeah. It was okay. And we learned some things and we move forward and we could maybe do a little bit better next time and stuff. But why not? Let's just keep moving forward. I have this funny vision of myself as a business owner where I'm like running. And I'm running forward, but it almost always looks like I'm going to be falling.
Yeah.
But I'm still moving forward.
Yeah.
I'm almost tripping all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe I even do. And then, you know, big, big learning thing in the entrepreneur world is, man, you got to get back up and dust yourself off and maybe be humble, maybe, you know, make some apologies, whatever needs to happen.
So feel me when I bring it. Sing it loud. I'm from the loop.
Hi guys, it's your girl Nechama, your favorite Jew from the Lou. Welcome back to my podcast. And today I am so excited to have Samantha with me. Welcome.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
We are obviously not in my living room. This place is stunning. We are at Lost Hill Lake and it is just beyond. Like, I wish you guys could be here with us. And we're at the end of August, and it should not be this beautiful, but it is like, what? It feels like it's 60s right now.
It's in the 70s, and there's a little breeze and a little cloudy. It's like, I mean, I'm in a sweatshirt. You have a little blanket on.
I know. This weather could not be, like, more perfect, especially doing this outdoors.
Yes.
I would have done it if it was 100 degrees, but still, I'm really glad that the weather worked out in our favor.
Same.
Yeah. Same. So honestly, this is so crazy because we literally just met. I was finishing my workout. It was so hot. I couldn't even move.
It was super hot.
And Cody and Josh and Luna from Breath and Exposure were having an impromptu
Coach's plunge.
Coach's plunge. Wait, yes. Luna wasn't there. Actually, never mind. I just include Luna because she's part of the tribe.
Sure.
But I asked if I could jump in and you were there too.
Yeah.
And then that's when Josh made the connection that you're the one who hosted their retreat, their first ever retreat here. So let's go a little into like the history of this place, because I know with the little tour that we had right beforehand, you were telling me how like even just at the wedding venue, your dad planted some of the trees like in the 70s and here we are now. So tell me a little bit about the history.
Yeah. So 1967, my dad and his parents bought the property. He was 22 years old at the time.
Oh, wow.
And they actually lived in South City, not very far from where we met, and, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so they were always going out to Merrimack State Park in the summers. And that was the things people did in the 60s. They left the city for the summer and they would go out to the river and spend all summer at the river. They didn't have AC. Oh, wow. And so they would just go spend the summer at the river. So after some years of that, it started to get really crowded. Mm-hmm. So they started to look for a river property of their own. So 1967, they bought the original 150 acres that we have here. And they first started kind of developing down on the riverside where we do the wedding venue and event venue. So, you know, for the first 10 years, they were just kind of enjoying it and doing little projects, cleaning out brush and making, you know, little roads and driveways and all the things. My dad planted that walnut grove in, he can't remember exactly the year, and it was a couple years that it took to plant it, but we're going to say like early to mid 70s. And he planted 175 black walnut trees all in rows. And he thought, I'm going to let this grove grow for 50 years and mature, and, you know, I'll harvest the lumber and make a nice little amount of money and everything and don't have to think about it again. Well, he realized about 10 years in, he planted the trees too close together for that. His like project and hope for that outcome of those trees. But it turned out to be the most epic like forest event venue ever. With the trees that close together, it creates such a canopy for the shade.
Yeah.
So to have an outdoor event venue where the main things we're doing is all in shade and kind of under trees and on the river, you always have a little bit of a breeze coming off the river and everything. So yeah, it just seemed to really flow really well. It was kind of meant to be. He certainly never could have imagined a wedding venue being being in those trees, but it worked out well. And then they kind of migrated over to this side of the property. He dug out the lake in the 70s and what we're looking at right now, and it just has been filled in with rainwater, and he built all the little like fun docks and gazebos and everything out there. And then that's kind of how the property stayed for majority of my life. I grew up in the St. Louis area, kind of in Creve Coeur. And then we were out here, you know, on weekends and summers and stuff like that. Just very summer camp, kind of what you've talked about. And, you know, I would bring friends out and we would just be swimming the entire day.
I bet you were popular.
Yeah. Jumping off the dock and just like, I remember coming in for like a very like summer 90s lunch, you know, like turkey sandwich, Cheetos, soda, like that type of thing. But that is very like my memories of this place in the summer when I was a kid and just like constantly swimming and playing from morning until night, coming in for some lunch or food, and maybe had some chores we had to do before my dad would let us go swim for the entire day. So
I was going down memory lane myself when I was driving down here, because like even the drive here, like the last little bit when you start getting into like the rolling hills of like the countryside, I'm like, my friend had a farm growing up and I totally had forgotten about it. And like we all would go there on Sundays and it was so cool. Like I remember horseback riding and they had a little golf cart just flying around and all the animals. It was so cool.
It is. It's a very special feeling to just feel like really free in nature and very playful and everything. And we hear that a lot actually from people. And I feel like that's a big reason the glamping resort is so popular, because so the family farm is kind of, it's becoming less and less and less of a thing that people have. Families split off, sell property, you know, whatever it may be. It is a wild amount of work to maintain property. And so I feel like many people have memories, like you just said. I was a kid, I was going to my friend's farm in the summer, and you know, it's a really special feeling. So with the glamping, I feel like a lot of families really love that. You know, it's not necessarily their family farm, but they get to kind of come and enjoy for the weekend and bring their kiddos, or just, you know, come as a couple or friends or solo, whatever it may be, and really get to play and just be relaxed and not have a ton on your schedule. There's not Wi-Fi. There's not, you know, you're just kind of present.
Yeah.
So it's,
I know, because I saw the pictures from the Breath and Exposure like retreat. And just being here immediately, I'm not even gonna lie, immediately when I turned in, I was like, oh, I should have come to the retreat. That was my thought. I was like, I should have come. Yeah. Like, for me, what had happened was, is the reason why I didn't go in the end, I was, you should know, like, to the very last second, I was going back and forth in my head, like, should I not? Oh. I had just come back from Africa.
Yeah.
And, like, both financially, but also just that experience for me. Because, yeah, I went to visit my friend's farm, but that was, like, for a day. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I had really ever... This immersed. Is glamping, but I did camping, you know, and I was like 7 days out in Africa, no Wi-Fi. Like,
girl, that would be hard for me.
It was intense. But you know what's wild is that I didn't even realize how off the grid I was mm-hmm. until I came back to America and I was so overstimulated.
Yeah.
What I loved about the feeling of this place, because I know we were talking about like, how do you capture this for marketing and like let people know what it feels like mm-hmm. to be out here? But it's just like... Just like that,
mm-hmm.
that breath feeling, that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where it's like I don't feel the need to like want to check my phone every 2 seconds, and it feels like I could just, you almost feel like you step back in time a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
You know, absolutely. Like every wholesome like TV sitcom where it's like just like sitting on like the little pier with like your feet dangling over the water, or just like kayaking, or just like chilling and reading.
Yeah,
you know,
time and space. To do yeah. things in your schedule that you enjoy doing and that fill you up versus like, go, 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 go. You know, I got to do this. I have to do this. And yeah. trust me, I make timelines for a living for weddings. I am very much like, yeah. you know, I really thrive on that. And also it's so nice to schedule out days for yourself to be able to have a retreat weekend or, you know, a weekend that you're coming here with your people or solo or, you know, it's very yeah. special. And definitely know we will be doing more retreats. So you didn't miss out forever. And
right. Yes. That's what they told me. And yes. then I also was like, this was their first retreat. So I'm sure there's like kinks that they're like working totally. Through, you know? So it's like, sometimes it's better. Even the trip that I went on for Africa, they had been trying to get me to go on that trip for probably 3 years now, mm-hmm. and I kept saying no to them.
Gotcha.
But now they're at that point where it was, like, more established yeah. things were, like, but there's always kinks.
Always.
You can't run an event and not have kinks. It's absolutely. Just the way it is. Absolutely, you know?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, this place is so incredible. So, like, you live out here now.
Yes. I moved out here 12 years ago when the business really took off for weddings. I lived in South City. I had a house there, and it just wasn't sustainable to be driving out here daily and yeah. doing the trip every day. I still, you know, go visit St. Louis at least once a week. Right. Tuesdays are currently my day that I go. A ton of my family and friends live there. And
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
You know, Trader Joe's grocery store and Costco and all the things.
Modern conveniences.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm so, we're just so blessed that like my family found this property and we're only an hour from St. Louis. So it is very much an option for me to go do a day trip or yeah. for someone to come out and do a weekend trip and everything. And that's a big thing that we hear from people is like, wow, I didn't know that this was only, you know, an hour from St. Louis or just an hour yeah. outside the city. And you get, you know, that feeling.
It just is wild. Like, I really do. You know what it is? I feel like I'm in a Hallmark movie. That's what I feel like. It's so wild. Like, I can't get over it. Like, everywhere I look, it's like, it's so picturesque.
Well, and it's nature. You know, nature is just, you know, a big reason the way that we got connected was through Breath and Exposure, STL. Yeah. And I'm so drawn to that practice. So, and I think nature and what this place offers, as well as that practice, is offering a really similar thing. So it's offering nervous system regulation. Mm-hmm. And so when you are in nature, that feeling is your body is switching into your parasympathetic nervous system. And so you are in that like rest and digest, that like, wow, I feel really safe and calm and at peace and everything. So I feel like being out here gives you that feeling. Yeah. And so now I've been out here for 12 years. I've really noticed a big difference, because even sometimes when I go into St. Louis, I'm like, oh man, there is just a ton of people, traffic, noises. There's just a ton to look.
A lot of stimulation.
A lot, yeah. And then you come out here and, I mean, it's like very, very different.
Yeah.
So that has been a big notice for me. And so when I found that practice, it was just another tool with the breath work and the ice baths to just help tap into that part of your nervous system.
Yeah.
And stuff. So, yeah, I feel like, and then to be able to connect with them and click with them so well, and definitely have a lot of just values that are really similar with Josh and I, the owner of the company, and all the people on his team. So to be able to do a retreat with them was so cool because I
makes sense.
It so much sense. And so I, it before I had kids, I ran a retreat company out here with one of my friends where we hosted a ton of retreats, and we did a little couple little music festivals called Yam Fest, Yoga Arts and Music.
Oh,
and
that's so
it
cute.
Was so like small and wholesome and just awesome, like maybe 400 people, and just, you know,
that's a good turnout.
Yeah, workshops and music and classes and just people, you know, connecting for a weekend.
It's big enough that you're like, it's lucrative, but it's small enough that it's intimate, that you're making like connections.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so once I had kiddos, I had to put a pause on that for a little bit because I had a whole other business of the weddings, and you know, we're opening up the glamping side and everything. So it was super exciting for me to come back. You know, my kids are 6 and 8 now, and so definitely have a little bit more space. And so to be able to find a company like Breath and Exposure where we have so much in alignment was really cool, to be able to co-host that retreat with them. And totally some operational things that we learned and stuff, and are already really excited and thinking of ideas for the next one to bring people out here and to get that feeling.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Because, I mean, it's really important, I think, in the hustle and bustle to have access to what they offer. But there's something that much more powerful about doing it in a setting where you're already intentionally removing yourself from all the noise.
Absolutely.
We need a reset every now and then.
100%. Absolutely. You know? And some of the feedback we got from the retreat was, could it be one day longer? And I'm like, I love this.
Wow.
Yes.
Because it was
Friday to Sunday. So I think next time we'll probably do Thursday to Sunday and give people the option, who doesn't love to just take off a Friday if you know that you're scheduling it in your schedule. You're making space for that reset. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yep. Why not?
No, literally. That's
I've
so
heard you
cool.
say that why not a few times, and I love it. I love it. Cause that's like such a tagline around here. It's like, why not? Let's try it.
It's so funny you say that, because like I have this dream of writing a book. I don't know what it's about yet, but all I know is the title, and the title is Why Not? Which I think is funny that I'm putting it out there. I probably shouldn't be putting it out there before it's even out there. Don't steal it, please. It's kind of my thought process about life, because when I was in my early 20s, I don't think I gave this impression to other people. But internally, I felt a lot of like anxiety, and I was very nervous about like stepping out of my comfort zone.
Sure.
Right. And so I made a challenge for myself since I was 20. And ironically, my mom did the same thing when she was in her 20s, where it's like, whenever something scares me within reason, I do it.
Yeah. Love that.
And the more it started off really small, right? Like getting contact lenses or going to the grocery store without my mom, you know, like little things like that. But the next thing you know, like then I'm going to Africa and I'm climbing the world's largest freestanding mountain. Like, and the more you, and doing solo traveling and like the more you do things like that, the more you realize that so many people live within a box that they've created for themselves. Mm-hmm. And to be able to step out of that is really a game changer, because then you're like, well, what else can I do?
Absolutely. I love that. We seem really similar.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. And I am such a, I see people and entrepreneurs, and they don't even have to be entrepreneurs, but people doubt themselves so much. And I know that we all struggle with that. And I also, I've been doing this for 12 years. You've had the why not, you know, mentality for how long now? I'm not sure.
So I'm 29. So that started when I was like, so about 9 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And it is just amazing, the little compounding momentum that you gain.
That part.
As you why not it more? And so I am just such a data-driven person that I just love data. And so it's like, if I have the data that I've done this before and I did it, like, it maybe it wasn't perfect, but nobody died. And, like, yeah, it was okay. And we learned some things and we move forward and we could maybe do a little bit better next time and stuff. But why not? Let's just keep moving forward. I have this funny vision of myself as a business owner where I'm, like, running. And I'm running forward, but it almost always looks like I'm going to be falling.
Yeah.
But I'm still moving forward.
Yeah.
I'm almost tripping all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe I even do. And then, you know, big, big learning thing in the entrepreneur world is, man, you got to get back up and dust yourself off and maybe be humble, maybe, you know, make some apologies, whatever needs to happen, you know, and move forward. I mean, I've double booked a wedding date before on my second. Yeah, girl, it was bad. It was real bad. And after something like that,
you don't do it twice.
No, you don't. And just the humility. And there is just, I mean, nothing to do but just to eat it and be like, man, I really messed up.
Yeah.
And there, I am so deeply sorry. And how could we make this right, you know, for this client that isn't going to get this wedding date anymore?
Yeah.
And, you know, and different things. And yeah, after you have some experiences like that, that really moves you forward.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And it
so
makes
much.
It, I don't know, it makes you maybe not as scared to mess up too.
Yeah.
That, you know, you do a big mess up and you will have big mess ups in, you know, being an entrepreneur. But I don't know, there's some magic in that like suffering maybe a little bit of to realize that, like, okay, this was bad. Here's how we worked through it. Here's how we fixed it. And here's how we're definitely going to do better in the future. And yeah, let's keep falling forward.
Yeah. Did you meet Will when you were down there at RFT and CrossFit Ready to Live? Will and Pete.
Yeah. So yeah. Will's not always in the country.
No,
yeah.
Correct.
So I've met him a few times. I've done a breath work with him before.
Yeah.
That he participated in with me. And I've done CrossFit a handful of times with Pete. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So right, Will, he was on my podcast, and his quotable quote at the end was, at first it was fall.
Okay.
Just as you were saying, like, that's just part of life. It's part of being an entrepreneur. It's part of being a human.
Yeah.
But then as we were talking more about it, he was like, actually, I'm going to change it to be fall forward.
Mm.
Literally what you were saying. Because as long as you're learning, that's okay. Like,
absolutely,
you're going to fall. Like, that's totally normal, you
for
know?
Sure.
There's just so much entrepreneurship, I feel. And I think that, like, just the ability to be humble is huge.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it is what it is. Not everyone's going to like you. Are you familiar with Alex Hormozi?
I don't think so.
Because you're an entrepreneur, you definitely should be.
Cool.
Especially on Instagram, you can just watch the little reel snippets that he has.
Nice.
But he says a lot of things that I find are very validating. Because I think sometimes being an entrepreneur can be really lonely. Because it could feel like no one really understands.
Mm-hmm.
So you meet other entrepreneurs, it's like a breath of fresh air.
For sure.
But everyone else in your life thinks you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's hard, right?
It is.
But it's like weird because I'm going through this. I'm new to this, right? I just started my entrepreneurship journey this past September.
Mm-hmm.
And like at first, everyone is like your biggest believer. They're so proud of you. They think it's so cool that you're not doing the norm and the corporate life and all that. And then when things aren't happening as maybe as fast as they want it to be, or they're like, do the numbers make sense yet? What are you making? And all of a sudden, all of that, and you're not fitting into like their little picture of what they want you to be, then all the same people who believed in you the most start to be like, well, maybe you should take a safe job. And maybe this isn't the right fit. And it was cute while you tried, but – and that could be really lonely as like an entrepreneur. But my friend who's already kind of past that in her journey, she told me, she's like, but there will be a time when, like, you will be successful if you keep at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to be like, I always believed in you.
Yes, absolutely.
People just aren't visionaries.
Yeah, it definitely takes...
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
A special person to be an entrepreneur. I tell people you almost have to have a level of obsession.
Yes.
With your business to a potentially unhealthy level of, I definitely try to keep that balance. I got balance tattooed on my wrist recently. Reminder. especially in the beginning, I mean, I was 25 when I started this business. I was so hungry and so just motivated. I have my father who owns this property, and then I have two brothers that I share this property with. So I definitely have people that I want to meet the expectations of. You know, I want, if we say we're going to do this, you know, they're investing time and energy and believing in me and different things. I definitely want to rise to the bar and hit the standards and stuff. So it took a while. It takes a couple years to, I feel like, to kind of get going and kind of get that momentum like we talked about. But once you hit a certain point, it is, I won't say that it gets easier, but a level of like flow comes in because you have some systems built. You have, it seems like every amazing like grassroots business that I meet, you know, has an owner, and then they have somebody that has come in kind of in the early years that is somebody that really believed in that business. And for me, you know, I have a woman on our team named Brittany, and she's our venue manager, and she was a bridesmaid in the third wedding we ever hosted, and wow, was like, this is really cool, do you ever need help? And I was like, yeah, do you want to come tomorrow and help me with dishes and putting away decor and stuff? And she did.
Yeah.
And she's been with us for 10 years now. And, you know, she's kind of interchangeable with me in some ways of some of the roles that we do. And she cares about it so deeply. And I know for Breath and Exposure, Josh definitely has that with some of his team and stuff. So it's super special when you get somebody, you know, like that, and that they believe in it with you, and they see the vision and the potential and everything. And I feel like it like relights your fire.
It does.
When you're like, oh my gosh, this has been so hard for a while.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think that there is just, this has been a ton of hard work, but there has been a level of flow and just, yeah, like, really hard, you know, 15-hour days just doing weird manual labor I didn't ever think I would be doing and stuff, and then also planning with clients and their moms and everything, but just a level of ease and a level of, I don't know, like giddiness that comes along with it, that you just love what you're doing, and you're kind of carving out your own path and everything. And I don't know, I love living outside the box. I want to live as far as like outside of the box as I can within reason.
Yeah.
Because it's just so cool, the things that we can do in this life. And if like you can dream it up and you want to put the time and the energy into it, I mean, it's almost like there's an insane amount of options out here. So
yeah,
it's really fun.
There's so many ways to be successful as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't just like climbing the corporate ladder and like having a certain set salary, you know, and like, I think the thing is that, of course, we all want money. Who doesn't want money?
For sure. We got to play the game. Got to play the game in this world.
You know, you got to pay your bills too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a basic level of, like, living that needs to happen.
Totally.
But if there's, especially because I'm so in the beginning infancy of my business, mm-hmm, I've cut back a lot on lifestyle choices that I had when I was living my corporate baddie days, right? Sure. But let's be real. I mean, kind of going back into, like, everything that you have here at Lost Hills Lakes too is just like taking that moment to step back from your life and be like, what do I really need? And why do I feel that I need this lifestyle?
Yeah.
For me, a lot of the things that I was spending a lot of money on was because I wasn't actually intrinsically happy and fulfilled in my own life.
Totally.
And so it was this never-ending cycle of like, now that I have all these lifestyles and habits that cost so much money, I need to stay in this job. And so learning to take that step back like a few years ago has been a game changer. And now I'm not money focused. Mm-hmm. I am purpose focused.
Yes.
And I'm a big believer that like if money is meant for you, it will come.
For sure.
So you might as well do what you love.
Yeah.
And not that it's going to be so fairy tale-esque and so mm-hmm. easy necessarily, mm-hmm. but alignment is huge. And I feel like I've gotten certain like whispers from the universe or like little messages from God that I'm doing the right thing when I get in those moments of like, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't be out of the box, you mm-hmm. know, because that's a normal feeling.
Totally.
Like even for me, there was that one little like, this is a silly little story, but when I was going to the bank to set up my business account, the car in front of me, the license plate said coffee. And so nice. That was pretty cool. Yeah. I feel like for me, though, what's been cool is I started the podcast thing way before my coffee thing. I started my podcast August 31st, 2023. So it's been almost two years at this point. And in the beginning, I thought I was going to run out of guests because I was in the corporate world still. I was doing it as a side hobby. Mm-hmm. And my world was small. And within that world of my small social circle, finding someone who actually wants to put their voice, their story, their video out into the ether was a little challenging, you know?
Sure.
But slowly, I remember there's this guy who goes to the CrossFit gym. He, like, his name's Sam Schaefer. He was the first guest who I didn't know in my personal life, who I just DM'd.
Nice.
Because someone who was on my guest, who was in my life, was like, hey, I know this person who I think would be a great guest. And I remember being so nervous. And I, like, literally just slid into his DMs. And I was like, you seem really cool. You have a great story. Do you want to come on?
Awesome.
And he was so nice. I couldn't have picked a better person to, like, reach out to.
Yeah.
And, like, this podcast has like changed my life. But what's cool is along what you're saying, it's still a lot of work. Things go wrong all the time. I'm out of flow at the moment with publishing, but I will get back into it.
Yeah, you will.
But I've gotten to the point now where guests are coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or
you're just meeting them at the gym.
I meet them at the gym. Or like, for example, Josh had been on mine. Mm-hmm. He had such a good experience that now he's like introducing me to his network, mm-hmm. which is the best compliment you could possibly have. 100%. You know?
Yeah. Josh, I tell him he's the gift that keeps on giving. He,
that's so true.
It is. I mean, with the practice and then with all the wonderful people I meet through him, I'm just, because it's hard to meet friends as an adult that are in alignment, on a similar path, that are, want to talk about being healthy, want to talk about living outside the box, want to talk about why not? Why couldn't we do these things? You know, so it's hard to find people like that.
I heard on a podcast, they were talking about, it might have been Alex Ramosi, but I'm not sure, that there was like two types of friends. There's the ones you grew up with, they're your remember when friends,
mm-hmm.
and they're important because it's like the nostalgia, the childhood, all of that.
Yeah.
But then there's the, well, what if friends?
Mm.
And those are the ones you kind of game plan and dream together and grow together. And like, that's a whole different ballpark. So how do you and Josh know each other?
So just flow. But okay, so in 2022, I had a woman working with us named Amy, and she lived in St. Louis and was really good friends with Cody Decker. And Cody had just got into the ice bath stuff. And we always do like little team activities out here for team building and different things. And she's like, hey, could I have Cody come out, do a little baby breath work, and then we do the ice bath and we have a sauna. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. So we did that as a team. And it was a cool experience in 2022. Definitely. It's very interesting to think back at myself at that point. I was just fresh out of a divorce and just those things. And so I was not ready for that practice full time.
Mm.
Looking back, it could have been very beneficial, but I was not ready to receive that at that time. So did the little class with Cody. It was great. Loved it. So then, you know, fast forward to 2023, we host a creators retreat for influencers, content creators in St. Louis in May a lot of years. And so we're always putting on like little fun activities for them and stuff. And so we had Cody come out in 2023 and he did a little, that little session with them. And it was really neat. And then came out again in 2024 and did that. And so he came out in May 2024, did that class, got to connect with him a little bit, didn't really know him very well. Then I was following them on Instagram, the Breath and Exposure page, and a couple weeks later, after Cody had come out, there was a swim class that Josh does. He does those yes. CO2 tolerance swim.
Insane.
They're amazing. I love
You've
them.
Done it?
Oh yeah. So I'm a wow. swimmer. So I was just like, oh my gosh! Like I already did the breath work on the ice like years ago. Okay, I want to try the swim class. And so it was Memorial Day weekend, 2024. I went to the swim class and it was just me, one other guy, and Josh. And I walked right up to Josh and I was, hey, I've been wanting to meet you. Your guy Cody comes out and has done a few things out at my property. He's like, you own Lost Hill Lake. I've seen the pictures there and everything. And so did the swim class and just absolutely loved it. And had never really heard about CO2 tolerance or never really... kind of, I was just going because I wanted to play in the water and like be pushed and, yeah. You know, do weights in the water and stuff. And I just thought it was neat. So then, you know, went back for the June class, went back for the breathwork and ice bath class in the beginning of July. And so this was July 2024 and Josh and Cody were doing like a dual class. They were both there. I think Cody led the breath. I can't quite remember. But I had done breath work, you know, that one time with Cody, and that really had been it. And this was about a 25-minute breath work. And I had such a, like, somatic kind of body release of during this breath work and an emotional release that after the class, they were all going to go plunge and everything. And I was still so, I had so much more to release.
Whoa.
That Cody was like, hey, why don't we come?
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Into this room. There's like a little room at the
best.
I know. Jeez. It's great. And he like, why don't we come into this room? And, you know, I was like, can I just lay down and kind of like, I need to kind of finish up and just like let all of this out of my body
yeah.
and everything. And it was, I did the ice, which was really hard for me. I have the, Raynaud's disease or whatever, where your fingertips and your toes get really cold and the blood starts to go
Ooh.
Out of them really quickly. And so my hands will kind of go white and my toes will go white.
Ooh.
So the ice is a big challenge for me and was a big, I had a lot of resistance. I like being pushed. I like doing hard things. And so that ice was really challenging for me. And so that whole session, that first one in July, just had just, I guess what I would call just like a massive, like just emotional, like, I don't know, the body keeps the score. And I had some things to let out. And, and I did that class and I was like, holy shit. So everybody in my life knows I'm like a massive health nut. I just shared a thing on my Instagram and Facebook today from a memory from 12 years ago that was a little poster that said, you know, the food you eat is either the slowest form of poison or like the most powerful form of medicine mm-hmm. and stuff. And I've been living that life with food for the past 12 years now, and I could never imagine changing that and stuff. So everybody in my life knows that I'm just like, I love health things. So I'm not really obsessed with like working out, or I just like, I love wellness and just everything that can encompass, and that's a lot of different things. And so that practice for me was like, holy shit, I have these tools available at my disposal all the time, my mm-hmm. breath and stuff. And I had been introduced to breath work years and years and years ago in definitely more of like the hippie, like crunchy community, which it was a little bit hard for me to receive that from them. And so to find it through breath and exposure in a really like science-backed way really resonated with me. And I really liked that a lot. And so now, so for all of like July and August, I went to their classes a ton last year. By mid-August, Josh had come out to an open lake day. He has a great podcast that he had done with someone that is on their breath and exposure Instagram, and I had listened to it. And I sent him a voice message last August, and I would said, hey, I don't know how I'm supposed to be involved with this. And I feel so drawn and called to this practice. And his big thing is about rippling out this practice to the community and just like, you know, shift happens and I'm like living it. And I'm like, holy moly, like my life is literally becoming better. I have a clearer mind. I'm able to make more intentional decisions and just like kind of tap into my own intuition a little bit more. And I feel like that's what that practice really does. So I sent him a message and I said, I am going to keep showing up. I am going to keep sending you little ideas. And I'm a big person of like, I will ask. The worst thing he can say is no. Yeah. Like, he's such a kind person. He's not rude or like anything. And he'll just, if it doesn't work for him, he'll let you know in a very nice, respectful way. So I was like, I'm not sure what it's going to look like, but I'm going to keep coming and keep showing up and everything. And I did. And so all of my free time, I am very busy out here with running this whole business. You know, we do client facing stuff. I have a whole staff. I have the property that we're managing and stuff. Like, this is a lot out here. So any of my free time, I was going to St. Louis and going to one of those classes and doing, you know, the practice with Josh or with Cody or with Luna. And they ran a training in November of last year, and it somehow worked out that we did have events that weekend, but I was not on the schedule. It was one of my first weekends that I was off kind of for fall wedding season. And I signed up for this training, not really thinking like I didn't have it in my mind that I was going to be a coach or like I wanted to do this stuff, but I just love the science. I wanted to know what was going on in my body with breathing, what was going on with the ice, the sauna, and just like, I was really drawn to that and learned a ton at that practice. And then kind of pitched him the idea of he was wanting to do what they call a nature plunge. So in the winter.
That was here.
That was here.
Oh, it's all coming together. Yes.
So like, so.
I thought they were nuts.
Yeah. Yes. Me too, girl. Me too. And then we had the craziest weather in January. You know, we had that ice storm here in Missouri, which we don't always get. No. I mean, frigid cold, ice, snow, all of that. So Josh is like, this is my dream.
Oh, my God.
And cut, you know, brought this crazy, like, saw tool. And he's the perfect person to do this. I mean, he's a firefighter. He just knows all the safety things.
For sure.
Like, the way that it, again, flowed was just like, wow. This is cool. They came out and they did that event here. And it was awesome. I've never plunged in such cold water. 29 degrees under the ice. This thick ice that he had to saw out and everything.
That's normal though in like a lot of like European cultures. Like my friend, she's from the Ukraine and she said, because I told her about the breath and exposure and asked if she wanted to come to a class with me. She was like, I mean, that's cute, but.
We're like in rivers and lakes and all
that. Yeah,
like
things. In the dead of winter. She's like, that's such a cute little American thing. Yes, and I'm like, I'm telling you, it's a whole experience, like with the breath and the sauna. Like,
it is. It is. And we made it into a whole like cool hang that day. I mean, people were doing multiple rounds. You know, we plunged over kind of at a dock over that way because it was the safest place that he felt like people could get in and everything. And then we kind of walked over to the sauna. We had a big pot of chili and like tea and just like, it was cool.
It's
and
so wholesome.
It was, and it was just so cool. All of those things turn into really cool hangs, and it's a lot of like-minded people.
How could it not?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like-minded people, like you said, but even so, like, I think when you do certain experiences with people that are so out of the box, especially, it bonds you.
It does, yeah.
So it's a quick icebreaker.
And then we knew that we wanted to do a retreat. We kind of got going on it like his schedule, you know, he has certain weekends that he can be off with the firehouse. We were planning this in like January, so I already had a ton of weekends filled up for me in 2025 because I book up so with weddings and glamping, we book up, you know, big time in advance and stuff. So it just worked out for that weekend. Yeah, and we planned the retreat and it went really well. We had 17 people here for the weekend.
That's a good turnout for our first retreat.
And it, like you said, there was a ton of little logistical things that we got to work through. We just got the photos back and they are like so beautiful and gorgeous. Well, and yeah, it's just, I'm excited to kind of grow that piece of the business because retreats are a huge passion for me. And then I do know a little bit about running retreats and definitely still learning, especially this last one that we did. And there's a ton of different ways that you could do it. So yeah, it was just great overall. And that's how we got connected. And just, I feel like that's another lesson for entrepreneurs of like, I just kept showing up and being like, hey, I really like this. Hey, this is, I mean, it, and I love selling things that I like believe in so wholeheartedly and like I can feel it in my body and it like means something to me. And the experiences I had with that practice and how I saw that translate in my own life on the day to day, I was like, this is something. And it is, I feel like almost like a duty to help spread this awareness of this practice to people. So I keep telling Josh, I'm like, I can't start another business. So but I love it so much. And I post about it all the time on my own personal social media. And now I have people reaching out being like, hey, I run a women's group. Would you ever do like a little private, you know, thing for my women's group? Would you ever do a breathwork and ice and sauna? And so a couple weekends ago, I had a group of like 8 women come out and we got to do that. And then being at the retreat and getting to lead some stuff, it was like, oh man, this just fills my cup up in so many ways. So I have one Sunday in September and one Sunday in October where I can run that practice out here, where it works with my schedule, good place in my cycle, good place with all the things. Yep. So like, I'm like, okay, we're doing it. So on Sunday, September 7th and Sunday, October 5th, I'm leading a breathwork, ice bath and sauna out here. And so we're kind of working on like how to make it this like breath and exposures, like satellite location kind of out here, yeah, at Wasta Lake. And I can kind of do some of the coaching out here and stuff. So I'm like dipping my toes into it because it just,
I'm so glad.
It's such a beautiful practice. And I am like so passionate about spreading it to other people.
For sure.
And the fact that, yeah, we have the sauna, we have the tubs. Now I know how to lead breath work and definitely still like working out some kinks in there, but I love it.
I know technically it sounds like it's a separate business, but to me it just seems like the natural alignment and flow with what you already have here.
Absolutely.
To be honest, in the beginning of this podcast, I was already thinking you should do it. But I didn't want to take away from like Josh and Cody and like, oh, no, all their ability to come out here. But I'm like, but if you already have it all stationed and ready to go here,
for sure,
then they can just, instead of having to wheel all their stuff.
Absolutely.
It's just all they have to do is get out, yep, here, and it makes it easier so for great. Them.
Well, and Josh is such a great, you know, has a great way that he talks about like at the top, people are collaborating.
Yes.
And we're not, it's not a competition. And you know, it's not a huge, like, I don't know. It just feels really good and feels really natural. And yeah, we'll see when he's like, you know, pick it up when you want to pick it up, when it works with your schedule. And then when it doesn't, you don't have to.
Going back to logic for a moment here, it makes sense, especially with this situation, that it's not competition at all, because first of all, you're quite literally in a different area.
Truly.
You know, so yeah, it's like the people who are going to come here, it's a different experience regardless.
Totally.
And also the cool thing about having that collaboration attitude and mentality is that because you guys are working in tandem together, mm-hmm, you can like reference notes, be like, here's what worked for me, here's what worked for you, sure, and then grow together.
Absolutely.
And like also then bring both your people together for events and bigger, mm-hmm, things, you know, so everyone wins. Truly. When you win, do win, it that
win
way.
I love a win-win-win.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels really good. And it's a big passion for me. And I love weddings. Like, don't get me wrong, but I was not necessarily dreaming of being a wedding.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Venue owner when I was 13, like laying in bed at night or anything. I definitely was dreaming of being an entrepreneur, and I knew I was going to have my own business, but didn't, you know, just kind of fell into the weddings.
Well, I'm a 10Xer, so when people tell me ideas, I start thinking about more things.
For sure.
So like, I love how I think like this because I'm super single, but like for my wedding, weddings are so much easier than finding guys.
I just start going to Breath and Exposure more.
Find guys at Breath and Exposure.
I'm so sorry. We're going to cut that out.
But I was going to say that for me, so my friend, I really should connect you to actually, because I'm part of Babes in Business.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love Babes in Business. They're great. We've actually talked about doing something out here. Like, it would be so fun, but I need
to. Definitely should, especially because I don't know if you saw, but like Steph and Angela are doing their first retreat together.
Cool.
And so I think if that goes well and they start doing the retreats, this would be a really great spot for sure. them, especially with the glamping. And oh, I could so see it on so many levels, because also Steph's husband, he has what is it called? I'm blanking right now, but he basically loves music. Mm. The scene 314, I believe is what it's called. And it's like, he knows that there's so much music and local talent here in St. Louis, and he wants to bring it all together. Mm-hmm. And so like helping people just discover good music and chill and hang out. And like, speaking of, like, this is like such a cool venue for that kind of stuff too. So like, there's so much collaboration you could do there.
I love it.
But I'm thinking like, so the one that Angela did, she has this, her business is called Arcana Collaborative, and it's all things wellness.
Mm, cool.
And so she does mocktails and mindfulness because she's like not into drinking. So a bunch of us women get together, and there's guided journals and meditations and just connecting with like-minded women, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And she also has her book club, which is the Bound for Better book club. So we read like development books, like personal development, you know. And then it just ends up, even if you don't finish it, you just come and we talk about life and the deeper meaning and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I bring this up was she had a day retreat and I went to it, and it was a really cool experience. And one of the things that I had never done was like a Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking, like, when I get married on my wedding day, I want to have, like, a Reiki experience for, like, me and my whole family and all my bridesmaids. Like, I think that would be so nice, like, energetically, just to, like, let's just vibe and let's just chill. And, like, you know, so I'm saying, like, with the wedding, like, again, that doesn't have to be a separate thing. You love wellness. Mm-hmm. You are killing it with the wedding venue stuff. Mm-hmm. How can you, like, bring it all together?
For sure.
Maybe it's like your target audience for brides turns more into like wellness brides.
Absolutely. Yeah. We make avatars for all of our different types of wedding clients, of like kind of who they are, what kind of jobs they do, what they love to do in their free time and everything. And then when we do showings, we'll, you know, a group message with leadership, we're like, we just had a showing with our exact avatar. We can't believe it. It's like the perfect bride and groom. And
that's so funny.
Yeah. So it's fun. But yeah, and so weddings, one of the most popular packages we have is the weekend wedding package, where they get the whole glamping resort for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And then they go on, you know, Saturday to the other side of the property and do the wedding that side. But it just is such an experience. Yes. And it definitely is a certain type of a client that it is attracted to that. And it is more of an experience, more of a, if you're having an outdoor wedding, you're automatically a more like laid back, nature-y type of human, I feel like. So it really vibes with the glamping and like getting to just sink in here for a full 48 hours with your people, you know, versus just a 8-hour wedding day where it's boom, 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 yeah. boom, 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 boom. And it's very busy and it is very stimulating. And so to kind of be able to be here for the whole weekend can be really, really nice.
Because I'm not going to lie. When I drove through here, I was like, you're like, let me show you the wedding venue. But there's a wedding here. And when I was going to the bathroom, I'm like, is it crazy to say that I'm going to get married here? Even though I'm nowhere near that stage at all. Just because, I have this vision for my wedding. And it's funny because I don't think most people who know me, at least who've known me my whole life, would think that I'd be the type to get married outdoors mm-hmm. or anything like that. Because I am, recovering type A, super girly girl, never had gone camping before. But I think with this Africa trip, I think it wasn't only that, the fact that I went to kind of Kilimanjaro. I think it was also just, this doesn't seem like a you thing at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but I'm like, I like to try new things.
Yeah.
And I like being in nature, mm-hmm. you know?
Absolutely. Well, and it's like we have, walls we can put up if the weather's bad. We have really elegant weddings and we have, I don't know. It's just, we can have a lot of the standard things that you would see for a wedding. But then it's just to be in nature, the trees down there in the wedding venue. I mean, people come from all over the country, honestly, to get married in the trees. I mean, to get married in a forest, people are just so drawn to. And it, I have to think that there's something to it of this feels really peaceful. This feels really, regulating. That's kind of what they're saying. And they
feel
don't
like you're in a Hallmark movie. Yeah.
And so, so we have a wedding client this coming Saturday that they're coming from Alaska.
Yeah, what a compliment.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So it's really cool. I mean, we did a wedding a couple years ago where it was a small wedding, maybe 20 people. The bride and groom had just moved here for work from the UK, and all of their family came over for the week for a wedding here. Everybody from the UK. So it was really cool. We've had a handful of that. Having the resort and having accommodations where people can stay on site really kind of blew up the wedding side of the business. For the first 6 years, we were just a wedding venue. So we worked with a hotel in town, you couldn't stay here, that type of thing. But once we added on the glamping and then we've added on some amenities, it's really kind of turned it into a whole weekend experience.
Because if I was thinking, okay, I love everything about this. Because if I'm thinking from the perspective of if it was my wedding day, I like the idea that it's more of an experience more than just the day, right? Sure. There's a lot to take in.
There's a lot.
And so, Jewish tradition, actually, is you get married outside. Mm-hmm. The chuppah will be under the stars. So the fact that this is already outdoors is very, in alignment. I feel like the perfect day would be to, or experience, maybe even a weekend, would be to have the breath and exposure component in it.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea of doing that on...
Just to make sure everybody's calming down. Just calm down. Tensions get high with weddings. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want my wedding to be so chill and so relaxed and just, about the people that I love. A big thing with Jewish weddings is you invite everyone with any possible connection ever. Mm-hmm. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I would love a 20-person wedding where it's just the people who are truly the most important people in my life, you know? And I just feel I'm the baby in my family, so I have a lot of nieces and nephews. And I feel like they'd be running around. It'd be so cute.
It's so fun. So typically what will happen, it'll be Friday, you'll check in around 3:00. Mm-hmm. Everybody will get here. You will do a rehearsal walkthrough for your wedding, just with your wedding party and stuff. Anybody that's going to be walking in the ceremony, maybe around 5 or so that evening. And then most people are doing their rehearsal dinner here. So we may set this building up as a 40-person table and chairs for dinner. Or we might be over at the gazebo over there. And people will either get it catered, maybe bring out a food truck, maybe just do a big grill out in the community kitchen.
That's
and swimming and just hanging out. It can be casual or it could be formal. It's just kind of up to each client and everything. Yeah. Then you're having a hangout Friday evening with everybody. And then, everybody goes to bed, whether they're either staying here at the resort or they're heading to the hotel that we work with in town. And then, Saturday, the bride wakes up, kind of has, it would be awesome to do breath work in the morning, like 9 a.m. breath work or 8 a.m. breath work, and get everybody like really
in the centered right place
day and everything. That would be really cool. It definitely would take the right client to see the value in that, but I'm gonna start putting that out there. Good idea. Very good idea.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then the bride and the bridesmaids are getting ready either here on site or at the hotel. The guys and all of the rest of the family are kind of hanging out and just having a fun morning. They're on
that's what they do.
They're hike, they're swimming, they're fishing, they're, you know, so just great. Hanging out, talking and connecting with people.
And then also from like capturing the memories.
Yeah.
There's so many cool moments to capture with that, where it's people, I just want a big hangout. Like, that's just what I want.
And then we all go down to the venue on Saturday and do the more formal wedding. And then people like make their way back over here by the evening, and the party potentially continues for like the main group of people, you know, that the bride and the
client. Mine's gonna be a challenge though, I'll tell you, because like, so one of the things for me, like with the retreat too, I'd have to figure out, which is tricky, is that like I keep our Sabbath, which starts Friday night.
Yeah.
So Jewish weddings are never on Saturday.
Sure.
So it's like, I could almost imagine it being almost like a retreat situation where it's like the wedding would be Sunday.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Shabbat experience would be here.
Nice.
We'd extend it where there'd be, like, the dinner Friday night, the dinner, like, Saturday day. And everyone's just chilling, but no one's on their phone because we go off the grid anyways on Shabbos. Yeah,
so neat.
And then Sunday is, like, the wedding. So it kind of, like, eases into
it. For sure. Yeah. We have a handful of people that will extend the glamping time. So whether they're doing the wedding on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they might do, like, Thursday through Sunday glamping. So they kind of have that extra day or two. I even have one this fall that they're doing Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah.
And the wedding's on Friday.
Yeah.
And just like they're getting a day before, a day after of just like completely chill time.
Yeah.
Which is neat. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. And it is really, really cool. And we're finding, you know, people are wanting peace. They're wanting an experience. They're wanting to like slow down and not just have to be like boom, 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 boom. We're doing all this stuff.
It's a time capsule. That's what it feels like. I was like, what does it feel like? It feels like time just stopped. Like I could just be here.
Yeah.
And being present, like it's hard to do that in your everyday life. Sometimes you need to step into a place like this where you feel like you're just stepping back and stepping into like this like almost like fairy tale-esque.
Definitely. Yes, it is very, very.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Special. I love it out here. I'm trying to build like everything that I love and adore out here, so I have to leave as much as little as possible. So like a big project that I'm hoping to do is we have a pond right over here that I would really love to turn into a natural swimming pool, because I want to be able to have a place to like swim laps in a pool and different things. Then also a pool helps attract a different kind of customer that maybe doesn't want to swim in a lake.
That's fair.
But will totally swim in a pool. Right. So I'm really hoping for that in the next couple of years. I'm very much hoping for like a shipping container, like gym kind of vibe, to have a gym out here and everything. So yeah, just I love tennis. So one day I hope for a tennis court.
That's we'll see. So cool. Why not?
Yeah, why literally not? And it, you know, it's a long life if you're lucky. So there's a lot of time to be able to build things. I have that same thing as you where I call it a maximizer. So I like to take an idea and then my brain's just like more, 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 more. And I really have to work on reining that in. And it can be a beautiful skill and it can really make me like move quickly on action and moving forward and stuff. And sometimes it's not the right time to maximize out an idea. And we need to stay a little bit more consistent and stable and stuff. So that may be one of my biggest lessons in this life is slow and steady wins the race. And, you know, I'm 12 years in. So I started this business when I was 25. I'm 37 now. And my dad's 80 and you just saw him moving the sprinkler and doing stuff out here.
He's
so
adorable.
Yeah. So, I mentally am like, okay, 55, 60, I'm going to like retire a bit and slow down and stuff. But I plan on, you know, developing this if I get to, you know, for the rest of my life and seeing where it takes us. And I already, you know, my two young kids, we talk about all the time. I'm like, what would you want to do out here? Maybe like a mountain biking course or like zip lining or ooh, I mean, there's just, it's just endless. We have 200 acres. We have a ton of property that we could do really cool stuff. And I think one of my big gifts in this life is just the space and allowing people to come to this space. And yeah, there's so many things that can happen. And so with the kids, I'm already like, what could we do? What do you want to do here and everything? So we'll see.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we'll see.
So have you ever heard of human design?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what you are?
I think I'm a... I'm not the most rare type, but I'm like the second most rare. Maybe like a manifest or I can't remember. One of my friends is really into it and we're the same type.
I'm learning too.
Yeah.
So I'm a manifester.
Okay.
And what was interesting for me is like hearing you talk earlier before how you're like, as an entrepreneur, one of the things that you're doing is you're constantly putting yourself out there and being like, hey, what about this idea? What about this idea? Yeah. Which I feel like I do a little bit. But for me, and like this goes along with my character, human design character, I guess, is that like for me, I actually am more in alignment and I manifest things more when I sit back and I'm full within myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I feel like my energy is just in a really abundance mindset. When I'm in an abundance mindset, and I'm like, it will all come together when it's supposed to come together. That's when everything comes to me versus like when I try to be like you and I try to go after things, it doesn't flow for me. Isn't that interesting?
It is. Yeah, it is. It's cool that you know that and you've seen that. And...
it's not fun. I think my biggest lesson is similar in a sense, but it's learning to sit on my hands and just be like, when opportunities come my way, let's go, but not trying to like chase them. If that makes sense. Like, and I heard a really good analogy for this because I like to study Kabbalah. And it was saying about how, let's say, for example, it's your birthday. And what's your favorite type of cake?
I mean, brownies.
Brownies. Yep. Okay. So let's say it's like the most yummy brownies ever. Like, you've been craving this. Normally, you're very healthy with your food, but it's your birthday. So you've been waiting. But like, for some reason, you haven't eaten that day. So you're starving, okay? And like, you know that like your birthday party, the official dinner is coming, and then everyone's gonna bring out your brownies and sing happy birthday to you, but you're starving and you're like, I don't want to wait. So you go to the fridge, you see the brownies, and you don't even get a plate, you don't even get a fork, you just shove it in your mouth. You're like, just want my brownies. That's similar in life to like when we let our desires overpower us in terms of the fact that like we're supposed to get everything that we desire, but it's all about alignment and timing and letting things happen when they're supposed to.
Absolutely.
So it's like, have those desires, go after everything that you want, but like also give life room to create a beautiful life for you.
For sure.
You know?
Because
there's nothing nicer than when like things just align for you and you're like, wow, I thought about it and here it is.
Yeah.
How lovely is that?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes. That is that's like the sweet spot.
Yeah. Funny.
Yeah. No, that's great. Have you ever there's Enneagram and then there's also Clifton Strengths. Have you ever heard of Clifton Strengths?
No.
So similar, it's just a cool tool. It is a little bit more like business minded maybe. But it's really neat. I would highly recommend it. And I don't know, the test is maybe $30 and you can kind of answer all the questions. But it shows you your top strengths. And then one of my biggest takeaways was how those strengths can show up as weaknesses if you are not aware that maybe that is one of your strengths. So that maximizer that I talk about, like for years, you know, just I have a really good balance with my dad. He is a little bit slower of a, and so he kind of slows me down a little bit, which is really awesome. And I need that sometimes. But so like how trying to maximize something out could be such a weakness if it isn't the right time to do that. It can be a great strength if it is, but if it isn't that right time, then that could really be a negative for me and stuff. Yeah. So it was really cool. I just really like learning about, I don't know, myself and what's going on in there and everything. And then, you know, if needed, like, how could I, you know, shift things to be more like aligned with my true self and everything. And yeah. I feel like a lot of these tests like get a bad rap by some people. They're just like, oh, I don't want to be told who I am or whatever. And it's like, well,
it's just feedback.
Yeah. And then you take what you want from it and leave the rest. And then, I don't know, it's just neat to be able to be like, oh yeah, I do that. Wow, that's interesting. And maybe I don't want to do that all the time. So how can I be more aware of that and shift that and stuff? So the Enneagram was an amazing tool for that. So I'm a type 3, the Achiever. And so, which very much tracks for my life and stuff. So there's 9 types and they kind of tell you, do you know anything about it?
I'm the Entertainer.
Nice. So what is that?
If I remember correctly, I'm an ENFP.
So that's Myers-Briggs.
That's Myers-Briggs.
But
sorry.
So Enneagram will be type like 1 through 9. Okay. And there's like the Helper, the Achiever, the Reformer, the Enthusiast, the Challenger. There's a handful of them. But my big thing is like, if I'm living in like an unhealthy level with myself, I get my self-worth through achievements. And so for me, I do have a great strength of being a go-getter and making things happen and like making a decision and like, we're going to move forward and we're going to do it. And it may not be 100% and maybe an 80%, but that's okay. We're going to move forward and we're still going to do it. And so now my biggest thing that I'm working on is, can I be still moving forward, achieving things, but that they're not so much tied to I'm good or bad if I am not achieving things. Like, I'm good just always on my own because I'm here and I'm a human and all of that. So that's a big lesson that the Enneagram has definitely taught me for myself. So really great strength. And it's cool to hear about, like, yeah, I do that. That's awesome. And I do that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And stuff. So I just love it. More tools for self-awareness. And then that has, in my own personal development journey, and being just really into reading a lot of those books and learning about myself, and then that trickles into this business. Yes. And how I run things with my team. You know, every winter we do like a book club where we're reading like a growth-minded book, and we've been doing that for 3 or 4 years now. So it's really cool to be able to use the same language with my leadership team and stuff, and kind of be on the same page with that stuff. And it's really cool. And I think people kind of feel that here when they come here, of just like, I don't know. Things have been set up really intentional here. And I hope they feel that.
I do. And I could even imagine, like, if I was here for longer, my first experience in nature for the longest time was with Africa. Mm-hmm. And a hard lesson that I learned is, listen, nature's beautiful sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. But there's also sometimes where you don't have the Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. you don't have the constant distraction, that there's a lot of truths that come out. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the takeaways that I had from my trip in Africa was that I have control issues, mm-hmm. Because I didn't know where I was and I'm following the guide. Mm-hmm. And I just kept wanting to know, how long is it going to take? How long is it going to take? And they wouldn't tell us a lot of the times, like on purpose, because they knew that like our brains couldn't handle like how long we were going or whatnot. Wow. Or even like some at night when we were going up the mountain, like sometimes they would start having us walk sideways because it's so steep that you wanted to give your mind like and your body a break from walking just up that incline, you know? The other thing that was a huge realization for me, and this is going to be controversial, but I'm very opinionated on this, is that, like, especially in America, we have this whole concept of, like, everybody is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And not beautiful. I don't mean – because anyone could be beautiful. I'm not talking about that. But it's, like, every – literally body is good the way it is. Love yourself. Mm-hmm. Radical acceptance, right? I was not in mountain climbing shape Mm-hmm. And that was a big shock mm-hmm. because Mother Nature doesn't give a shit.
She's brutal.
She's brutal. You know what I mean? It's survival of the fittest. Yeah. It's not survival of who loves your body the most, okay? You can love your body to the spa, but you can't love your body up a mountain. You just can't. And I know that sounds yeah. so harsh, yeah. but it was just such a wake-up call for me because yeah. it's like here in America, especially if you live in a bigger city, mm-hmm. you don't have as much exposure mm-hmm. to using your body physically. Mm-hmm. And there's so many body types around you. And mm-hmm. it's America. You can always find someone bigger than you to make mm-hmm. yourself feel better about yourself, you know? Where you're like, I'm going through a lot right now. Like you're mental sure. health, let I'm me, sure. you know what I mean? Or like... But it's just, that was such a harsh reality check mm. for me. And ever since I got back, I've been very active and really trying to get to be my physical best.
True.
And it's going to take time because it doesn't happen overnight.
Totally.
But I feel mentally different yeah. knowing that I'm trying to move throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with 75 hard?
I'm on it right now.
Okay. So you know how you have to work out twice a day.
Yep.
Once of them has to be outdoors. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of people find that insane, mm-hmm. you know. But the truth is, after being in Africa and moving for that many hours, that is so little mm-hmm. compared to how much we really should be moving
for
our
sure.
bodies.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
And I get it. Lifestyles are different depending on what you do. Mm-hmm. But damn, when you're determined, you could find time to move.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the reality
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, that functional fitness.
Yeah.
Is, yeah. So moving out here really shifted my mindset for that with manual labor is hard.
Yeah.
Manual labor. And like, I'm just out here raking and like roughing up dirt to like lay seed and different things and, you know, picking up walnuts and grass cutting and... I'm not even doing the weed eating or like the wood chopping or the, you know, the really hard stuff. But even just in the weddings, I mean, we're physically moving so much stuff like mm-hmm. tables, chairs, plates and decor boxes.
Just
and
doing just, dishes after.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
There's so much.
So moving out here really shifted my mindset. You know, my dad is. The gym's for people that don't work outside. And I'm like, you're right, Bob. You are right. and stuff. So it's funny because he has such a different mindset. You know, maybe he wrestled a little bit in high school and did like a little bit of the gym, you know, weightlifting then. But he, after that, was in the workforce doing manual labor, carpenter, concrete, you know, that type of stuff. So that on the body is... I mean, so much different than going for 45 minutes and throwing weights around and stuff, which is still, you know, wonderful. Glad that we're doing that. And
yeah.
working outside is a whole different animal. And I'm sure for you, culturally, you got to see people where you were at of just like how they live and how
yeah.
what they put into their life every day
the
to
work
make
ethic.
It work. Yes.
For is. The safari that I went to, mm-hmm. our guide drove 9 hours on a bus just for that job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I hear people complain about a 20-minute commute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People complain coming out here for an hour.
9 hours? That's insane. And, like, they're so happy to work.
Oh, for sure.
And it's like, well, also, they don't have jobs. They don't need them. They work, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Was that your first time traveling outside of the United States?
No.
Okay.
I went to Italy, but that's a little bit of a different experience.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've spent a good amount of time in Central America and a little bit in South America and Peru. And it is definitely a different culture. And, you know, time is a really big thing here in America. And it's not a huge thing in other countries, in the countries that I've been to, especially in Central America. And South
yeah,
America.
That's true.
Clock time.
Not a thing.
You know, it's a different mindset. And so I love traveling to those places. And like, I took my oldest son, he was 5 at the time, we went to Peru for 2 weeks together. And for him to just see that, and like the family we were staying with, him and the 8-year-old girl would go a block away to go buy the bread every morning so we could have fresh bread. And like, that was wow. very normal and very safe. And it
yeah.
was just, you know, so going to travel and get to see the way other cultures live with how they eat and how they move and their mindset is like one of the biggest empowering, like shifting things I felt like I've done in my adulthood, and that I've been able to take that back here. A lot of this stuff is actually inspired by how they live in Central America. So some of the glamping, all of the glamping units, the kitchens are outside.
Yeah.
And so it's like outdoor cooking, and that's how it is in a lot of those countries. And so bathrooms and kitchens are outside, and, you know, the houses are just for sleeping and maybe a little bit of lounging and stuff. But yeah, so I've taken a lot of that and brought it back here, and I just love that culture. And I love getting to go to other places and seeing how they live, and just, I feel like here we're just constantly
just, a lot of consumerism.
Yes, and just told that is like, this is how we live, this is how it is, this is right, everything else is wrong. Mm-hmm. And then when you step out of the box and you go to some of these places and you go hike a mountain and everything, it's just like, holy shit, I can totally make up my own whatever, like, what they tell us is, you know, mother culture. Take what you want from it and, like, leave the rest and everything. And I feel like I have such a happier life and a more, like, true, in-tuned life to my own values and the things that I find important. I know we touched on, you know, money a little bit, like, as an entrepreneur. And when I was a little bit younger, and I've slowed down a little bit moving into my late 30s. But in my early 30s, I was just like, you know, I want to make this like $1 million business. I want, you know, just, I have definitely shifted a little bit, because now I just value like time with my kids so much, and you know, slow days here where we can go play on the lake and go explore creeks and take the dogs out, and just not having to be like checking my messages as, you know, the manager, the owner, like, people need things from me. Like, I'm really trying to put boundaries on work stuff so it just doesn't consume your life. And as an entrepreneur, I mean, there is no 9-to-5. I mean, if you don't have the boundaries, you could be doing a ton of work after the kids go to bed all the way till midnight, and then you get shit sleep and you're back up at 6, and it's like, so I'm actually doing 75 hard, but I'm calling it 75 Samantha. So for... You don't have to fully do exactly, like, it could be whatever the hell you want it to be. So, like, I'm trying to get some other really good disciplines into my life and into my routine of, like, oil pulling a few times a week, like doing coconut oil in your mouth and stuff. I'm trying to do gua sha, you know, a few times a week and stuff like that. Getting a walk in outside every single day. That's a big one. The reading the 10 pages of a nonfiction book every day, I love. I have a few friends we're doing it with, so we're, like, sending pictures every day and, like, keeping each other accountable. And we all just had our first weekend, and we're like, do the best. And it's Monday. We're ready to start it back up and get back to it and everything. So it's cool, because I am coming into my two busiest months of the year right now, September and October, fall wedding season, just madness in the best way. And so I'm really trying to have everything in my own life be really disciplined and really, so I am getting a good 8 hours, you know, a night. I'm getting my workouts in. I'm getting some good reading in and stuff. So, and that makes my mind, I feel like, be so much more on it for all of these other things and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So
you need a reset. I mean, the life that you were describing about, like, lack of boundaries was kind of where I was at before Africa. And like, I was craving being off the grid and unreachable for 7 days. I was like, hell yeah, I'll poop outside for that. Like, no one can talk to me, sounds great. You know, like, I just, I needed to be out. I needed to be away.
Yeah.
And it was really great, like, you know.
Did you know how hard it was going to be?
No.
Okay.
I cried a lot.
Yeah.
No, a lot. It was the physically hardest thing I've ever done.
I could imagine.
Also, like, because COVID happened when I was, like, 23, I lost all concept of time. And I, like, had this weird shift where all of a sudden, like, when the world started waking up again, if you will, I was in my mid to late 20s, and I was like, no, but I'm a kid, you know, I'm like 19, really.
Yeah.
And then going on this trip, it was a group of 6 women, including myself. One was 19, one was 20, one was 23. Myself, there was a 32-year-old and a 60-year-old.
Oh, wow.
Mama Karen.
Yeah.
So the 32-year-old, she was a marathon runner, so she did much better than me. I was the least physically ready, active one of everyone there. Like Mama Karen, she lives in Seattle. She comes Mount Rainier all the time. And she took the training very seriously.
Oh, okay.
It was still the hardest thing she's ever done.
Sure.
But like, she was pretty good. And I would say most of them kind of split into two parts. There was like the days of climbing beforehand. So our trek was 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
So like the first 6 days was the hardest part. And then there was like summit night.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, already on day one, when we were like beginning our journey in the jungle, I started to feel my hip flexor was tightening up. And I was like, oh no, this is too early. This is too early to be feeling pain. I did too. I had a porter holding my bag for me.
Wow. Yeah.
And like any videos you see of me holding a bag in Kilimanjaro was just for the gram. And then I handed my bag to someone after because I was like, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. And then summit night, I needed a lot of TLC. So they sent me ahead of the group. I had my own guide and my own porter.
Mm.
We left at 10 p.m. The rest of the group left at midnight. So I left 2 hours before my group. Wow. I was the first one on the mountain that night.
Yeah.
And I still finished 4 hours after everyone else. I was one of the last people to get up the mountain of everyone who went up that day. And I finished at 7:20 a.m.
Wow.
So I was hiking for a long, long time.
Yeah.
There's three summits on Kilimanjaro. Mm-hmm. I only made it up the first one.
Gotcha.
But I was happy with that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I get a certificate. I made it.
Cool.
They're like, you're going to have to come back and do all three. And I'm like, probably not.
You never know.
You never know
in this life.
You never know. It would be interesting. I was thinking about this, like going back one day with my husband, I think would be a really interesting experience.
Mm.
It'd be very telling about our relationship.
Truly.
Like either we would get divorced after that trip or we would be like solid for life.
Yes.
You know?
I totally agree with that. That's so great.
There's no in between.
Yeah.
Honestly.
No, I feel like something like that just like humbles you and shows you like a totally different way of life. It shows you what your body and your mind are capable of, and you probably won't ever be the same after that trip.
No. Yeah. And I think the hardest part about it is that there's so many people out there being like, oh, that's so amazing that you did that. Like most people probably will never do that trip, right? Mm-hmm. But like you have to understand, when I was on there, I saw hundreds of hikers, mm-hmm. all ages,
mm-hmm.
all ethnicities, all body types, mm-hmm. right? But everyone's going up there to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like when you wake up early to go to the gym, mm-hmm. and you're like, I'm a winner. Everyone's asleep. And then you go to the gym and it's packed. That's kind of how it felt on Kilimanjaro. Mm-hmm. Like, I know there's a lot of people who will never do it, but I was with everyone who was.
Yeah.
And I was the slowest one, mm-hmm. of everyone who did.
Yeah.
And that humbled me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so yeah, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really hard. And I lost the toenail.
Just some collateral damage.
I'll be okay. It's growing back. Taking some hair nail growth vitamins.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
But for me, it was like also just this legacy for myself, for my business, for like my future kids that like I climbed a mountain. Because it's an analogy that they use for everything, mm-hmm. in life. But at the same time, like 2 weeks later, I'm at the gym trying to do a plank and it's like, 30-second plank, and I'm like, I want to stop. And I'm like, you climbed a mountain. You can hold a 30-second plank, you little bitch. Calm down.
Oh,
but it's okay. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I'm like you. I love challenging myself. I love putting myself in the situations.
Well, and you're so young. You're a baby still.
Yeah. I am, but at the same time, like, that trip made me realize that I, at the same time, wasn't, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I'll be 30 this year. And while that is young, it's also not young.
Your 30s. I mean, obviously, I think 9 years older than you. So you grow so much in your 20s. Like they say, your brain isn't even fully developed till like 25 or 27 or something like that. And so when I see all these young people getting married at 23, I'm like, oh, your brain's not even fully developed, guys. Let's wait just a little bit longer.
But I can't say that. I used to say that because in my culture, I grew up like Orthodox, like everyone gets married in their early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And like, don't get me wrong, I'm a romantic. I've always been boy crazy. I've always wanted to get married.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I just never felt ready.
Mm-hmm.
honestly, until I turned 28.
Yeah.
When I turned 28, I was like, mm-hmm. If he were to come along, I think I'd be okay.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
You know?
Brain developed.
But as a character development, yeah. Too.
Oh my gosh. You learned so much in your 20s and then, but your 30s. The lessons in your 30s. And just like, I still have that mindset sometimes of I feel like I'm 25. Like, right. I want right. to play and just like create and just all this. And I'm like, I got some kids I got to take care of. I got this business to run.
You're like, I'm just a teen mom with kids.
Gosh. But I don't know. I just feel like your 30s, you just learned so much about yourself. And a lot of people will do marriage and kids in your 30s, which just like, you don't even know what you don't know until that type of stuff comes yeah. along. And just even in your career, like as you're seeing the momentum kind of pick up with the, you know, you're 2 years in, and you said a really great thing, an analogy that I like to use in businesses of like your business is still in infancy, which I definitely see stages, you know, we go to toddler and then kid and teenager. So I feel like my business is kind of in a teenager stage right now, mm-hmm. And stuff. And so it's cool to see the businesses like shift and grow and change as you grow and change and get older and everything. And as things that you're into, you know, I'm adding breath work into my, maybe into wedding mornings too right now. Yeah. And it's like so cool. That is so fun to me. And just so like, what do you want to make it? And I've heard things of like the universe is not on a budget. You should be asking for more and yes. more and more. And I'm totally like, you know, along with gratitude and along with hard work and everything. But it's like, why aren't we going out there and just, what do you want? What, yeah. what is it that you want to create and stuff? So, yeah. And in an infancy business, like, there are steps that you're doing that maybe you're not doing in a teenage business and stuff, but then there's things in a teenage business that you might not be doing in a baby business and everything. So it's really cool to, it'll be really awesome to watch you in the next like decade and see how you grow into your 30s and your business and just you as a person. And it's so cool. I love it.
I enjoy growing up. Like, it's fun. You know, my friend, she's so sweet. She's 25. She's like, well, you know, they say the 30s is the new 20s. And I'm like, no. Like, I'm 29, but I'm already 30 in my head. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm ready for my 30s. I had my 20s, and now I'm ready for my 30s. Yeah. And I'm not trying to pretend that I'm in a different decade.
They're awesome. And like, I'm, you know, I'm 30. I'll be 38 at the end of the year. And so I'm kind of like gearing up for 40s. Yeah. And then, you know, Josh with Breath and Exposure is such a great example because I think he's like 45 or 46.
Yeah, 46.
And he is just like such an amazing example of somebody that is like very disciplined and very on their practice. And they say, you know, around 40, you're really going to be able to see the people that have been investing in their mental health. They've been investing in their physical health. They've been investing in their, you know, emotional health and their family dynamic and all of that versus people that are not doing that. And you around 40, you really start to see that in the body. You really start to see that in conversations with people and everything. And so Josh is just like such a mentor to me of that he is doing that, and he is like everything that he's out there preaching, he is doing in his own life. And that is like, I don't care what certifications he has, like that means nothing to me. I'm watching him do it in his everyday life, and I'm like, yes, I want that and stuff. So it's funny because in that business, I think of like Josh as like big brother. And then I think of Cody as like little brother.
Yeah. So yeah.
Really good. It's a really good mix.
Which is funny because like Cody's older than me. So I'm like big brother.
It's fun. And it's fun to meet like people and the friendships that you create into your adulthood is just really cool too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a fun ride.
I'm excited. So I want to be respectful of your time, but I have this tradition at the end of every podcast episode. So the whole basis of this podcast is on this Hebrew quote, which is Eidah Chacham, Halomin Mikol Adam, which means one who is wise is one who learns from everyone. Mm. So we have learned so much from you. But if you can leave us with like your favorite quotable quote or a life lesson.
Mm. Okay. Well, I love Why the Hell Not. So I love that. And you, but don't know. I really love, and I said this already once, of just like, it is a long life if we're lucky. And like, what the hell are you going to do with it? And what are you going to do for yourself and do for your family and do for your community? And like, what are you going to leave here for people? And that is a big mission of this life, of just to really get to enjoy it and to be purposeful with it and to be grateful that we're here. So,
yes.
So, yeah.
Amen to that.
Heck yeah.
I was going to say, one of my favorite thing about like our conversation was like, we talk about these big lofty dreams mm-hmm. and just like pursuing all the wildest fantasies and desires that you have. But at the same time, there is so much value in the small compounding habits that you're doing every single day.
Absolutely.
Right? So like, and that's why I find so much value in 75 Hard. Mm-hmm. First time I did that, I was like 24. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was the one time I actually completed it successfully. But conceptually, mm-hmm. I took away so much from that, where sure. it's like, yeah, if you are consistent with these small things mm-hmm. that may not seem to matter, mm-hmm. they change you as a person. Even, let's say, making your bed every morning.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yep, absolutely. Those small compounding habits, like, roll into your big, dreamy life. Mm. Like, that's it right there. So,
yeah. Well, this was so great.
Yes, it was.
So what can my audience do to support you and Lost Hill Lake?
Okay. Well, we have a great website, losthilllakeevents.com. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. On Instagram, we have two different pages. So we have Lost Hill Lake Weddings, if you're wanting to specifically see more wedding content. And then we have Lost Hill Lake Events, which is like glamping and events and just kind of all the fun random catch-all things. So that's a great place to find out more about our business. And then, yeah, we do a ton of public events, fun things like breathwork, ice bath, sauna classes coming up. And then we do, you know, people. Yeah. And then just another thing, if anybody's watching this and you have an idea, like, reach out. Love to connect. Like, what's something that you've wanted to do that you've been looking for space to do it? And yeah. Like, I have some space, so let's chat.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your space with us, first and foremost, but then also sharing you and your story. This has been so delightful.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming out and making the drive and
worth it.
Feeling all the feels here and for having this platform. It's awesome. So,
yeah.
So happy to connect.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, guys, this has been another great episode. So if you're not currently watching, I would highly recommend going to Spotify or YouTube because the scenery is just gorgeous. You have to be watching the video. So listen to this again, watch it. And if you are not currently subscribed to me on YouTube, what are you doing with your life? I am trying to grow my following. So please go subscribe to Jew from the Lou. And as always, please share this episode with a friend who you think would gain some knowledge and some fun from. And I hope you guys have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go.